One more thing. One of the pictures that I saw as others were talking, I was thinking about David, the worshiper, and how, you know, and you're a young woman, and how David, as a young boy, he didn't become a worshiper, a psalmist, a warrior poet as an adult. It was as a young boy on the backside of a desert watching a bunch of sheep, and there was nothing else going on except watching the sheep and just time apart with God. And just nobody's watching, nobody can hear, nobody can criticize, and just learning how to pour out his heart to God and then how to open up and hear God's response. You know, and we have the fruit of that in the book, in Psalms, you know, and also in the stories about David. But it was just those times apart with God that shaped him into the great warrior, worshiper, poet that he was. The greatest of all of Israel's kings, at least until King Jesus. And it's so great that he even says that Jesus sits on the throne of David. I'm going, figure that one out. That's how God honored that a worshiper, as flawed as his own character was. And I just sense the same thing about you. In your times apart, times alone, when nobody's watching, just you and God, just go crazy. Just abandon yourself to him and let him pour in as you pour out to him. All right? Because the body of Christ, the world, needs you to rise up and walk in the fullness of what you were created for. You are an eagle, so soar. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
You're welcome. And absolutely none of that was planned on my part anyway. It was like, it all started, but it's your fault back there in the booth. Started when I was back there. Yeah. Do you need the mic?
No, I just, there's a point where you started building what you were playing.
Hold it. Hold on a minute. And by the way, I wanted to suggest if this is recorded, you get it, and you write down your prophetic word because this stuff is important for you.
Amen.
Come on.
I saw the throne, and I saw the Father make a step down. And I said, well, what is this about? And he said, I am mindful of her. And you call forth his presence. Okay? You call forth, you summon forth his presence.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. He's mindful. He's aware of you. When you walk in the room, he takes notice. That is so good. I want to add something to that. That is so... What happened tonight, and you guys know, you're a prophetic community, so you know all this stuff, but I'm going to tell you anyway, right? This is just so how God works. And I want every one of you here tonight to know he's declaring the same thing over you.
Yeah.
She is special, and so are you. Whatever it is you're carrying, whatever gifting, anointing, call, dream that you carry, God is calling that out of you just like he is with her. So.
I'm sorry.
So here, now that's prophetic. When God calls, answer. We got phones going off all over the place here.
That was so funny.
Yeah, it is funny. It's Jesus calling.
I don't know. It says one missed call. I don't like to miss calls from Jesus.
No, that's right. All right. That's good. That's good. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hold on a minute here, Brian. Now, this is a little different than what I had planned, but we'll get to it pretty soon, I think. Yeah. I think.
Well, as I was thinking about just the worship aspect of tonight and how sometimes, you know, not always, but sometimes when there's a sense of in our soul, there's a sense of weeping, where the heaviness of just, I don't know, just stuff. But it seemed to me that as the worship was playing, that there was an affirmation that joy was going to come.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, I wasn't weeping, but I felt something just being lifted.
Yeah.
I could have wept, you know? And I think that's kind of the thought that I had for it.
Okay. And if there's going to be any weeping, let's weep for joy. Yeah. I mean, that can be true. Sometimes when I get the most joyful, I do. I weep. I can't help myself. There's just such my floodgate in my soul opens up, and I just sometimes you can't do anything but that. So, wow, Father, thank you so much for what you've done already. Holy Spirit, we just acknowledge, we're not inviting you to come, you've never left. We've just acknowledge your presence and ask you to have your way this evening. What you've already done, we bless that. We ask it for more. We're so bold and confident in you, we ask you for more. The more that every one of us needs in our lives tonight. And we just say, Lord, that the spirit of joy fall on this place tonight in the name of Jesus. And darkness and heaviness and the clouds, discouragement, depression, flee from your presence, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Wow. Okay. Before I kind of go to what I want to go to here, first of all, Trish was going to be here with me tonight. She sends her greetings and apologize she didn't make it. Our daughter flew in last night with our grandson, and they were all going to be here with us tonight, but the little guy who's just going to be 8 months old here pretty soon. His schedule got thrown off this afternoon, and when I got ready to leave, he was just then going down for his nap. Anyway, things didn't work out, so they're home, but they're praying for us. And one thing I know about them is they have influence with heaven, so I'm expecting a lot tonight. But anyway, Trish just sends her love. And for those of you, can you all see this painting up here? This will make a little more sense later on. I didn't even really think about this till later this afternoon. Trish painted this. When did she paint this? November of 2011. It's one of her prophetic pieces, which I love. So, and it is prophetic. Those that understand prophetic art understand there's usually something on that. That, you know, you don't worship the art, but you worship the one that it points to. And it really, she calls it wind and fire. Wind and fire. And she didn't understand it at the time. It wasn't only until recently we were praying about some stuff, and we came across the verse in Hebrews 1:7. It says, and of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. And that's what this is about tonight. So, Lord, we believe you for wind and fire tonight in this place. We believe you for angelic activity. We believe you. We have an expectation of the fire and the presence of the Holy Spirit here tonight as well. So we thank you for that. We thank you. Thank you for this this reminder, Lord God, that you send your angels to minister to the heirs of salvation. That would be us. And we just receive the ministry of you, Holy Spirit. We receive the ministry of angels in this place tonight for whatever need it is we have to be ministered to in the strong name of Jesus. Amen and amen, 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 amen. Luke, do you have any, what happened to your foot?
You know,
it looks like it's better.
I tell you, I feel like I've been at the other end of a heat-seeking missile for about 2 weeks. Wow. And I feel like today I've turned a corner. And, you know, quite honestly, I believe it's getting better. And until today, I didn't believe it was getting better.
Okay.
I mean, God just turned my faith around. And it is.
That's awesome.
It feels a lot
good.
Better. Not totally done, but
no. We'll just say, Lord, Well, Lord, we just say, complete what you start. You always finish it. You never stop short.
Thank you, Father.
You never stop short. And we just declare complete and total healing and restoration.
Thank you.
In this foot, in the name of Jesus. Everything that is wrong, be made right. In the name of Jesus. We just cancel this assignment. We cancel all pain, damage to the muscles, tissues, tendons, ligaments, nerves. And we declare complete restoration. Holy Spirit, you are the one who raised Jesus from the dead. We just ask you now, quicken Luke's mortal body. In the name of Jesus, testimony to the resurrection life and power of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I bless the worshiper anointing that you two carry as well. Fresh fire on that anointing tonight. Just release fresh fire and anointing on that. And avenues and opportunities to release that, not only in your own lives, but to those you walk with. Fresh fire and anointing as worshipers. Yeah, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Anointing for not only sounds, but also lyrics. Born, some of these will be born out of what the furnaces of affliction you've gone through, but they will have resurrection life on them and will bring hope, healing, and restoration to the hearts of those who hear and come under that anointing. You already know it's not you, it's Him in you. But it's not just Him alone, it's Him in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That as you minister, wherever you go, even if it's just a one person, in song, in deed, or in word, you will release hope and glory. The joyful anticipation of good and the weighty presence of God upon you. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Wow. It's just the Lord wants me to tell you, do not hold back. Past seasons are past. A new season is upon you. A new season is upon you. Seize it. Seize the day. Seize the opportunity. God has spent your lifetime investing in you, preparing you for great things ahead. Does that make any sense at all? And he laughs. So the
yeah.
All right, come on. We love it.
I just right when he started praying about blessing you in the worship on our passed the baton. You may have passed the baton, but you have. He has not laid you down. He is calling you further up and further in. So you may think we're not doing that anymore, but God has never thought that. And there is a powerful anointing on you that remains, and it's stronger even.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord has called you to step out in that, and it's just going to look different is all, but it's stronger than it was.
So
be refreshed in that, be encouraged in that, step out in that, do not lay down.
Yeah, it's a season of promotion. It's a season of promotion. Again, it may look different. There may be a shift in how it manifests, but don't be confused. Is a promotion with the requisite anointing that goes with it. Be open to that. In terms of passing the baton, you've passed the baton not because you've been benched or disqualified, but because you've done such a good job of pouring into and training those who follow. You have. You have. I mean, if you know anything about relay races, the passing of the baton is key. Everything can be lost if it's not done well. And I just bless you, too, for your faithfulness, for your heart of worship and humility. And I just break any lies. I just rebuke and break and cancel the lies that have been spoken over you that somehow or other maybe you didn't measure up, you failed or what. No, that's a lie. No, not at all. Not at all. God is so delighted and pleased with you, with your heart, your love, your passion for him and for his people. So, yeah, this is a new season for you. And walk in it with expectation every day, excitement. Wow. There's an adventure. There's an adventure coming. You want adventure? Yeah, you want an adventure. Yeah. Okay, I've had enough of boring. Now we're ready for adventure. Well, here's the deal. That adventure requires risk. The hobbits have to leave the Shire. You got to be able to step out of your comfort zone. So do that and watch what God does. I believe that there'll be whole new avenues of influence that you'll have outside of this community, this fellowship. That may surprise you. Just step into it. Okay? Yep. All right.
Really quick word about his healing. I felt like the Lord said that the enemy may have attempted to strike your foot, but you are going to strike his head with your foot.
Come on.
You are going to stand. And I just feel like there's a strength coming that you have never felt before in your spirit. There is a powerful anointing.
Fire.
Powerful fire on anointing. That. You're going to strike his head.
Fire on that. Yeah. Yeah. May the God of peace will soon crush Satan's head under your feet. Hallelujah. All right. Hey, I have some exciting news for you. The prophetess and the child have walked in the room. Come on up here, honey. Jalen, come on. They showed up. Hallelujah. I am so excited. This is, well, you know, for those of you all know Trish.
We were chilling back there. It was
cool. Yeah. And I was just explaining your prophetic art here.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was.
This is our daughter, Jalen, and Finley, Gabriel Gleason. Hallelujah. What a present surprise. You'll be in the mom's room? Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Yeah, is there anything else you want to explain about your painting here?
Huh? No, you probably did it.
Well, I did. I just don't know how good a job I did.
I'm sure you did great.
Okay, good. I love that confidence you have in me.
you just explained that it just occurred to us within a couple weeks ago what the Lord was saying about it.
Wind and fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's angelic. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. This is great. Another birthday present. Hallelujah. Yeah. So we're trying to. Wow, this has been good, and we're not even on. I'll have another drink. Thank you. Okay, that joy is starting to show up now. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Come on, yeah. Susie must be right at his feet then.
Come on.
Yeah, we have been. This has been good. None of this has been scripted. It's just been fun tonight. Hallelujah. Come on. God is just so good. So good. So many amazing people here. All right. Well, when I left off last week, I declared something over you that I want to pick up on again. Just go ahead. We're just going to. Well, maybe we won't. We'll try, but maybe. Oh, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you're so good. Oh, thank you, Lord. Shabbat. I want to kind of go back very briefly and kind of get into the main thing that I want to share with you tonight. Last week I declared over you Isaiah 61. It was Jesus. It was his inheritance verse. It was a prophetic verse related to him. But in Christ Jesus, what applied to him now applies to us. And this is what he declared when he went into the synagogue in Nazareth after his wilderness temptation. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. But as I declared over you last week, this is a word you can take for your own life, and it's valid. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you because he has anointed you to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent you to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, to freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called, they meaning the people who needed to be set free, the afflicted, the brokenhearted, the captives, the prisoners, the mourners. He says, so that they, having been set free and restored and healed, they, the ones that were broken, you and I, the broken ones, you and I, the broken, the mourners, the broken, the captives, the ones needing restoration, so that we would be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And it says, then they, that means you and I, they will rebuild ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. But you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God, and you will eat the wealth of nations. Instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. Instead of humiliation, you will shout for joy over your portion. Therefore, you will possess a double portion in your land. And then your offspring, Michaela, your offspring, Mom, Michaela, your offspring will be known among the nations and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them will recognize them because they are the offspring whom the Lord has blessed. He says that we are priests. In 1 Peter it says that we are a holy nation, a priesthood. Every one of us are priests of the Most High God. And our ministry is not, it is vertical, it is to God. We just minister to God. We minister to God on behalf of people, but then we also minister to those around us. We minister to people on behalf of the kingdom of heaven, on behalf of God. And there's something, and while I was reflecting on this, and believe it or not, I think that I'm going to be able to, anybody here ever do dot-to-dot stuff when you were a kid? Well, I'm going to try to do that, huh?
Still doing it.
Yeah, Trish is still doing it. She's still trying to do it. As priests, trying to tie together our priestly ministry, wind and fire, the presence of God. I think there's a lot of aspects that go into that, but there's something that the Lord has had on my heart for some time now. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, it's the dedication of Solomon's temple. The Lord had raised up David as this great worshiper, warrior, poet, who basically took took control of the promised land, finally put down all of the enemies. And it was in his heart to build a temple for God. But God says, no, not you, but your son. And so Solomon was able to fulfill in his time what David had desired to fulfill. David was not able to do that. But one of the things that David did, he made sure that all the resources necessary to build that temple were available to his son. So as mothers and fathers of the faith, whether it's our own natural children, our spiritual children, whatever, part of what we do is that we live our lives in such a way that we make sure the resources necessary for those who come behind us to fulfill the call upon their lives is there. We live for generations we may never see. That's what it, we live in such a way that we leave an inheritance, we leave a legacy. We've been talking about inheritance and restoration, that God wants to restore us the inheritance that has been stolen from us so that we in turn would steward it, carry it, grow it, and be able to pass that on. In this particular passage, what I love about it is that they're finally the temple is built. And it says, I'm going to read this to you in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. I'm reading from the New American Standard. When the priests came forth, and when I read priest, think of yourselves. Don't think about just the pastors and the prophets, the apostles, the evangelists. The priests, when the priests came forward, that's you, that's me. Okay, because we are a kingdom of priests, every one of us. God's desire was always for us to be a priestly people on the earth. When the priests came forth from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions. And all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun and their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen with cymbals, harps, lyres, standing east of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets. One of the things that jumps out at me here, you know what the key to one of the keys to the manifest presence of God is? That when the priests come together, they come together without respect to divisions. Now, in the old Levitical priestly line in the Old Testament, there were legitimate functions. That's what they're talking about, legitimate divisions. This division of the priesthood would be responsible for this. Another division of the priesthood would be responsible for different things. But when I read that, I felt like the Lord said that one of the keys for us is for when the body of Christ comes together, the priestly gathering of God's people, we come together without respect to denominational or any other things that would divide us. There's so much that divides the body of Christ today that robs us of anointing and presence. When they came together, and it's in parentheses here, it's almost an afterthought. When they came together, and oh, by the way, when they came together without respect, without even considering, well, I do this and you do that. They came together without respect to divisions. They had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions, and they came together, tells about all the different families, 120 priests blowing trumpets in unison. They came together blowing trumpets in unison when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and glorify the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, when they praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Then, when they came together in unity and oneness, one heart, one mind, one soul, one voice, in unity, then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. I love that. They came together in unison, in oneness. When we come together in unity of spirit, soul, mind, laying aside the artificial divisions that we create, and we come together and worship him in unity and in oneness, he can't resist showing up. He cannot resist showing up. It says not a preacher in the place could stand up. They're all laid out. I said, I want to be in a meeting like that. We've been in meetings that were pretty close to that, but I want to be in. A few years ago, Trish and I went to our first leaders advance in Bethel, and I remember our first night there, we were so excited, and this is a gathering of just amazing people from all over the world. And that night, that was in 2008, the worship was being led by Jesus Culture. And first song they sang was Christ Alone. And Kim Walker, if you know Kim, she belted out right out. And she wasn't like...
It was two notes.
Two notes into the thing. And there was such a... The presence of God felt like a cloud. And people were falling over their chairs. I'd never been anything quite like that before. And Trish and I are looking around and people are just falling out all over the place. I'm going, okay. That was good. This kind of reminds me of that, except then some. And it says his presence fell, and they couldn't stand to minister because of the cloud, the glory. When God shows up, the program goes on hold. The agenda gets hijacked. You know, God does stuff that's just like the old Baptist deacon. Lord, please do something that ain't in the bulletin. And when he shows up, all bets, just like earlier tonight, we didn't plan any of what was happening prophetically with Michaela and with Luke. It's what he loves to do. What he loves to do. When we come together, he knows every need that is here, and he knows how he wants to minister to those needs. One of the things, kind of a little footnote here. When you come together like this and people are getting ministered to, I don't know about you, but you know, we'll often go into a meeting and go, oh Lord, please me. You know, it's like, you know, anybody ever been here when Alan Ross is here and you're going, oh, I hope he calls me out, you know. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't mean God does not, he doesn't care, he's not paying attention. It's just what he's doing right now. And if we can steward that person's blessing and rejoice in it with them, guess what? Ours is coming too. All right? So, yeah, tonight I had no idea. Like I said, it started back in the sound booth before the service, and Michaela's up here playing the keyboard and practicing, and the Lord just says, I want you to bless her or release a word over her. So, and you saw what happened. That was amazing. And I'm so blessed by the fact that all of you got involved in that and just releasing prophetic ministry over this young woman. That's what we do. So the presence of the God filled the house. And he goes on. So Solomon begins to pray, and he prays this long prayer. It's an amazing prayer. We're not going to read that. But then you get clear over to chapter 7. It says, now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground. And they worshiped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, truly he is good. Truly his loving kindness is everlasting. When they came together in unison, in unity, and began to worship and say, God, you are good. Your loving kindness is everlasting. The presence of the God came into the house. And then when the sacrifice was offered, you know, they put the sacrifice on the altar. They provided the sacrifice. God provided the fire. They provide the sacrifice. God provided the fire. It's one thing to offer a sacrifice. It's another thing to have fire fall on it and consume it. Sometimes we offer sacrifices with strings attached. You know, Paul says in Romans 1, he says, present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, right? The problem is we keep trying to crawl off the altar. Present yourself as a living and holy sacrifice. Fire always falls on true sacrifice. And it isn't so he can take things away from us. It's an act of worship in which God can actually bring us into a place of healing, restoration, fulfillment, to walk in the fullness of who he's created us to be. Living a life of unity and oneness, understanding that we are priests of the Most High God. We actually walk out several functions. We're priests. We're prophets. We're kings. But we're also sacrifices. We offer up sacrifice of praise. We offer up our hearts to him, just reckless abandonment to him. Not so that he can kill us or neutralize us or cancel us out, but so he can actually bring us to a place to walk in the glory of God, to carry and release everywhere we go his presence and his glory. The thing that falls upon us, we get to carry with us. Out of the holy place, out of the secret place of the Most High, what falls on us there, that holy fire, that cloud of his presence, that fire that burns up the stuff in us that needs to be burned up. That was the promise. John the Baptist says, there's one coming after. I'm going to baptize in water, but there's one coming after me who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire burns and it consumes. It isn't meant to inflict pain. It's meant to purge and purify and take out of us what does not belong. We offer ourselves up as a holy sacrifice unto the Lord, and the fire falls, and we're changed and transformed. But the atmosphere, the environment of where we are has changed as well. It says that when the fire fell, the priests couldn't even go into the temple. Earlier on, they couldn't stand up. Now they can't even go in there because of the glory of God in the place. And I'm convinced that this is, can you visualize this? Have you ever tried to visualize being in a meeting like that? Or is it just me?
Yeah, no. Absolutely.
Well, guess what? This is an inferior covenant. This is an inferior. First the natural, then the spiritual. First the inferior, then the superior. Scripture makes it clear that the covenant we now live under is a greater, more excellent covenant that offers better promises. If this was available to old covenant men and women of God living under the law, the best that they knew how much more the fire and the glory of God fall upon our own hearts and lives, our own community of believers, our own fellowship as we walk in love and unity and agreement and unison. That's what the world is looking for. The world is not looking for the group that has the best argument.
That's right.
They're not looking for the group that has the best argument. Yeah. You know, cessationist, non-cessationist, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, eschatology. They're not looking for who has the best argument. They're looking for the people that carry the truest, clearest manifestation of the reality of the resurrection life and power of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove, demonstrate, manifest, put on open display the will of God. What is the will of God? Resurrection life for every human on the planet. We can manifest that reality. We are the argument of people walking in unity. In unity and love, with an anointing of fire, the presence of God upon our lives that destroys every objection. You know, it's hard. I love logic. And I can frame a logical argument for almost anything. But I've discovered that probably 9 times out of 10, it really doesn't do much to persuade anything or anybody. But it is the love, something that whether it's other believers that we don't agree with or unbelievers. Again, a good argument really doesn't do a whole lot to convince people. If you can be talked into something, you can be talked out of it. Okay? But a genuine encounter with the love of God does something. It disarms people. They may think, I still don't agree with you, but there's something on your life I can't argue with. Yeah. What is that? It's the love of God for you. God isn't concerned about you being your argument being wrong. He loves you. He loves you. And he loves everything about you that is right. That's the prophetic. He's not concerned about all the stuff that's wrong with you. He loves what is right about you. And just encounter with the love of God that releases his glory, his presence, his fire, his power. And it's real. It's real. I've had, and I don't always understand it myself. Even just recently, praying for the sick, I've had two or three occasions lately where I've laid hands on people. And it's not unusual to have people say, wow, your hand is really warm or even hot. But I had one guy recently, I had my hand on his on him here, and he said, your, and I couldn't feel it, but all he said was, your hand is burning me. It's burning. I'm just going, it's fire. Fire falls on sacrifice. Fire falls on sacrifice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do you have anything you want to add?
Well, just that.
Hold on. We love to.
I just wanted to say we don't have to agree about everything. You may have different things that you believe. It doesn't mean that we have to. We need to have the same heart. We don't have to have the same minds where we think the same about everything. But we lay those things aside to walk in agreement, and that's about the things that matter, and that's Jesus, him crucified, and who we are in him, those kinds of things. So Dan isn't saying, just in case you thought he was saying, we need to agree about everything. You know, Dan and I agree to disagree on some things, but it doesn't matter because I'm not going to convince him. He's not going to convince me. But when it comes to the things of God, and we're in agreement on that. And politically, thank you, Jesus, we're in agreement. That would be really hard. And so because both of us have strong opinions and we agree with each other. So, but anyway, so it doesn't mean that we need to agree on everything. But what it's just meaning that there needs to be a spirit of unity. There's unity in diversity. We are can be ourselves and be very diverse, but still have there be a unity between us. So just wanted to make sure you understood his heart on that. So.
All right. Hallelujah. What's that? Oh, yeah. Well, no, I want it to be in stereo. Here, I'll lay this over here. Thank you, Jesus. And you may need to help me out here in a little bit with that. Well, you know what this is like. You know, and when you start out in a meeting and you don't start the way you thought you were going to, you're not always sure where to land it. You have an idea?
No, well, go ahead.
Well, tell me what your idea is.
I felt like the Lord was saying there was a spirit of prophecy that was going to fall tonight, which happened. I'm just wondering if there are people that are holding on to words that they would like to express, if anyone.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay. I had something along the same lines here. Could I call upon you again, Michaela? You awesome, awesome. Mikhail?
Mikhail.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, no, I just renamed her. Mikhail. This is as good a time as any. No, that's what someone told me, Michaela. And I'm going, okay. Okay, all right. Mikhail. How do you spell it?
M-A-K-A-Y-L.
Okay, good. Yeah, all right. Mikhail, come on up. Would you be willing to do that? To just play the keyboard? Just play some music? Quietly? But bless you, my child. Yeah. Yeah. Because you really do carry anointing. So we want that anointing. As well, like the priests, they were playing all their instruments in unity. So we only have one musician, so unity is not an issue here. Hallelujah. There really is a spirit of prophecy here tonight. And there is, I believe, in a prophetic word, there is actually fire on that. There is fire on a prophetic word that is released. And Trish pointed out, and I really kind of sensed this earlier too, that there is, and it's already happened here in a couple of things. There is a spirit of prophecy in the house tonight. What I love about the body of Christ is this. This is not a spectator sport. It's not a spectator sport. We are a body. We are a family. We're a body that interacts. Trish said she felt like, and I agree with her, that there are some of you here tonight that are carrying prophetic declarations, prophetic words that you, for whatever reason, have not released tonight. I want to say this. I want to encourage you. Do not hold back. Because the word that you carry doesn't have to make sense to you. But there's someone or someones here who need to hear and receive what the Lord wants to say through you. So I want to encourage some boldness, some risk-taking tonight to step out. And I know you're a prophetic community, so you kind of know how this works. But I do want to encourage you, especially some of you who have maybe never done that. Tonight's your opportunity, and this is a safe place. And let me tell you, you can't get it wrong. Speak what God puts into your heart, and you'll be surprised at how anointed it will be. All right? So I'm just want right now, just ask the Lord if there's something that you're carrying that you wanted to release for the body. Or for someone here. You can maybe an individual, someone that God has put on your heart, and you have a word for them. You know, if it's something very private, then you don't need to do it publicly. I'd encourage you to go to them privately. But it's something that you want to release that we can actually... There's something about a... what I call the... okay, I'm forgetting the terminology here. That basically when we share... When all of our faith comes together over a word, the weight, the anointing that that carries... All right? So just take a minute here. Be bold, okay? Be bold. Might only be one word, one sentence. I just believe Holy Spirit is stirring in our hearts to bless one another tonight. Yeah, right? Okay. Mike, honey, you want to run back to this lady back here? Thank you. Thank you for being obedient. This is awesome.
Well, earlier when people were sharing to Mikhail, I kind of shrunk back in my corner, but what I wanted to say, what was in my welling up in me about you was, and I think it's wider, I think it's for the house, is that I hear water in your voice. Yeah. I hear the sound of water. It just feels like that to me. And as you play, I just wanted to speak into you and just pray and ask the Lord to build in you a marriage of your what you're playing in your hands and what's welling up out of your voice or out of your mouth. That there'd be a marriage, that there would be a expansion, and I pray for that over this house. I hear the water. I hear the sound of water in the band, and I just, Lord, thank you, and I just bless it and pray that it would be, there'd be a marriage of worship and declaration and all those things that you color it with. And Lord, help us to follow in all the dancing that someone saw. Help us to dance with all of that. And I pray that we would expand and move with you.
Sound of water. You have something to say on that, don't you? His voice is.
Oh, I love the way he does this. Well, his voice is as the sound of many waters, you know, and I am so mesmerized by Niagara Falls. Has anyone been there at all? It's incredible, and I was there as a child over and over again because I used to live out that way, and they've kind of shut down the water. I don't know if you know that, but they've turned down the water. It's only running at a fraction of what it used to. The falls used to come way out, and the roar was so loud that we used to have to shout when we were standing next to the falls in order to be heard. But now you can just talk in a normal tone of voice and you can be heard. It's still wonderful, still very mesmerizing. But I guess the sound of the falls, they've put, I don't know what they call it. Is it spectrometers or something? I'm not sure what the word is. They put a device that actually measures the frequencies, the sound, and it is the full spectrum from the lowest to the highest of sound. But see, that's the voice of God. It's the lowest and the highest. It's the full spectrum. And so when you talk about the sound of many waters, just what Cindy was prophesying over, it's like the full spectrum of God. It's everything, all inclusive, everything he wants to do, every the person that he is, with all of the facets of God coming forth. So healing and blessing and life and light and drawing and the everything that you can even imagine and more, that what God is released in that. Very, very powerful. So I like that. And this is Living Waters Church. That's so amazing how aptly named, you know, for this body and what God is doing in this body and more that he's even wanting to do in this body. It's just the full spectrum of his voice and his sound.
Wow. You know, I'd never really thought of that, living the way it is. It absolutely is. And you guys may have already thought of it, but I just want to declare that in this new season beginning tonight, you're going to a whole new level. That the sound that emanates from this place and from this people is going to be recognized as the sound of many waters, the sound of God. People may not even understand what it is, but it is. And the thing about that is that when God speaks, whether it's in music or in word, he speaks in so many ways. When he speaks, he always creates. He always creates. When he doesn't speak is when atrophy and things begin to fly apart. It says that all of creation is held together. How? By the word of his might and power. When he speaks, he always speaks life, creativity, healing, and restoration. That's why as a prophetic people, it is important for us to speak. Don't wait for him to do something. You are the thing that he wants to do through you. Okay? You had some more, honey? Okay.
Was praying for this meeting tonight, I felt like the Lord was saying that he was going to be taking you, us, this body, higher. It would be a very marked, noticeable change, upgrade. I don't know what the word would be, coming up a notch, and that it would be very noticeable. And the thing about the living waters is that, you know, how God speaks in different ways. I mean, this is his voice right here because it was a picture that he gave and then said, paint it. So you attempt to paint what you see. It doesn't always turn out exactly the way God shows it, but that is still His voice. So I believe that with this, there's angelic release.
Yeah.
When God can speak in lots of different ways through Mikhail playing, just in everything that we do during the day, when it's Him and it's of Him, it's releasing His voice. It can be through in nature, you know, just looking at the beauty and the majesty of the fall colors. I'm just blown away by that. But God can speak through that. He can speak through anything. He can speak through, I don't know, have any of you ever heard when you're sleeping or when you're just lying there in bed and you're just meditating on the things of God, or you're just in that twilight where you're half asleep, half awake, have you ever heard a doorbell ring or a telephone? Okay, so doorbell, telephone. What do you hear?
Knock.
On the knock on the door. Have any of you ever heard anything like that? So be sensitive, because that's still His voice. I've heard doorbells, and I think it's the doorbell. I know now it isn't, but or telephones ringing, you know, and it's not the telephone. And the last two times, just recently, it was very loud, very clear. I'm laying in bed, and I was thinking he was sleeping. It was very early morning, and I hear, Bino, Bino, very loud. And I thought, what in the world was that? It was so loud. And I looked over at him, and he didn't stir. And I thought, God, is that me just hearing something? Or I felt like it was the Lord, but I wasn't exactly sure. So when he woke up, I asked him about it. He said, oh, yeah, I heard that too. And I said, you did? And he goes, well, I thought it came from your iPad or something. And I said, well, no, I don't have that sound on there. And, you know, you try to reason it out. Well, then I really believed it was God. And then I called my daughter, my daughter called that day from Memphis. And I said, I've heard this sound before, but I don't remember where I heard it. And she goes, oh, that's a sound from the little minions on Despicable Me. Did you ever see that, the little minions? That's their ambulance
Bino,
sound.
Bino, Bino.
And I went, well, see, and the thing was, I started praying right then, because the thing that was on my mind and on my heart, God was trying to say, pray, pray, pray now. He could say it in a different way, but that's the voice He chose that day. That's the voice that came that morning. So I knew to pray. Well, then I was in, this week, I'm in the kitchen, and as clear as can be, I'm talking to someone on the phone that is not doing well, and they're telling me about their stuff, and they're feeling like it's very serious and that they're not going to come through it, and I'm just listening to my heart, and I hear that as loud as can be again, and I said, did you hear that? And they said, what? And I said, just the sound that, you know, came. How do you explain that, right? And they said no, and I said, you know what, I just think we need to pray right now. Let's just pray right now. Well, they started getting better from that point forward, because the Lord, in that sound, that voice, the voice of many waters, spoke through, and He does use humor with me a lot, because I do like to laugh, but He chose to do that to get His point across. So I just want to encourage all of us to be aware and listen, and to don't discount how He might be speaking to you. You know, you can reason it out and get into logic, like Dan said, and reason it out and blow it right off and miss Him. Or you can ask and say, Lord, are you trying to say, what is this? Are you trying to tell me something? And so you'll know, because there's kind of a burning in your heart when that happens. Something in your heart is happening in there where you are thinking this could be God. It has His mark on it. But then oftentimes I think we just push that out. The first few years I didn't always receive what I think He was trying to say to me. So I just want to encourage you in that.
All right. Thank you. Hallelujah. So, having said that, who else out here has a word they want to release tonight? We've only got about a few minutes left, but I want to encourage you to do that. Might even be a word. There may be someone here who needs a healing, and that healing would be from a word you want to release. Over here.
I don't know if it's necessarily prophetic, but it's been on my heart for months. And just, I don't know, the stuff with Mikhail tonight, I was like, okay. I just wanted to honor Brian Malley and Luke, Dave and Sue, and just the hours they have poured into her. Brian has come to the home many times and given her lessons, played with her, poured into her, and I just thank you for that. At that time, you were being God's voice to her. You were doing mighty things that I knew not to do. Wow. So I thank you for that. Yeah. And Luke took on a little 9-year-old girl and accepted her on the worship team when I said, could you mentor my 9-year-old child? And he said, yes, she was 9. How many people take a risk to put a 9-year-old up on stage to sing? So I go, wow, he was being God's voice to my little 9-year-old, taking her up there. And Dave and Sue have poured into many, many people from the body have.
Thank you, Lord.
And I just go, wow, that's all God's voice.
Yeah.
It's the fruit of everybody and the Lord's. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. And I just wanted to say for the Malleys, I was going to hold this for a little while because I want people to be able to come out. But that I felt like the Lord said that there's an upgrade coming to you, whatever that looks like. And a lot of the things you've done have been in secret. You do a lot of things where people see you, but you've done a lot of things behind the scenes as well. And that God is going to be... not in a bad way, he's going to be displaying you. You're going to be on display, kind of like a diamond set in a crown setting. And so I believe that all your hard work and the things that you've done behind the scenes is going to be, more people are going to be aware of that. And it's going to be it's a beautiful setting there, not for people to just gaze at and worship, but to say, wow, this is the work that the Lord has done and the, you know, what it takes to form a diamond. And so you've had some tough stuff that I think has formed who you are. And the thing is, I see you together as one. It's not two diamonds. It's actually one large diamond. And so that melding, you know, when you meld, it's like you guys are melded together. You can't separate what's melded. You can separate what's wound together. You can separate what's, but a melding is something that is, you're just like two becoming one. And it's a very prominent place. So does that bear witness with you?
I want to add to that. I just was looking at your pull over there. It says Starbuck Ambulance. And it's just the Lord said to me, you really are, you're a rescuer. In that, in an emergency situation, you know, you don't have time to go to the doctor, to the clinic. You call 911, and there are people committed to showing up. If it's 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, they show up, and they're not. And here's the deal: and you already know this. Those EMTs are not. They don't show up to be diplomatic or gentle. They show up to deal with a crisis, and they're all about dealing with the crisis right here, right now. And sometimes it can get a little rough, but you know what you need to do to bring people into a place of safety, healing, and restoration. And I just bless that about both of you. I bless that about both of you. Okay? Does that make any sense? Some people do not understand that and may get a little irritated or offended because you're pretty straightforward. But you know what? It's okay. It's okay. There are lives that depend on that. Okay? And so I just bless that about you, Brian. I bless your family.
When Dan first opened this up, immediately I had you, Brian. I felt like the Lord is, you know, he has seen things have not always looked the way you thought they should. I mean, I think you had a lot of disappointments in your life. A lot of. And you have always made the best of what you were left with in many times. And I just feel like all those times and all the things that you endured and all the times that you continued to press on and look forward, those are things that were building something in you. And there's a fullness of time coming, a upon both of you. There's a fullness of time when things are all of a sudden going to be looking like your desires. They're going to be lining up more with your desires, your deep heart desires. I feel like the Lord's saying, just forget the former things. You know, the things that you, the way you walked through them has been so good. I mean, he's saying, well done, well done. Those experiences have built things in you in character that you could never have achieved otherwise.
And when Luke started saying that, I felt like the word that God emphasized was persistence, that I've seen you be persistent, just persistent at keeping on, with just keeping on. And I just wanted to say one thing from an add-on to the Mikhail download we're doing here is, and this is about Mikhail's mother.
Yeah, come
Heather.
On.
Back in the day when we were on just kind of building the team, and we were seeing who God, you know, who kind of was going to be added onto the worship team, I remember just kind of catching wind that it was in Heather's heart to be on the worship team. And it was just, I just kind of knew it never happened, but not far down the road, you came and asked Luke if your daughter could be. And I remember thinking at the time, wow, because there's something kind of magnetic about being able to be up there on the worship team, and you could have just gone for it for yourself, but you promoted your daughter, and I was just thinking about that tonight. I was going to share it with you privately, and then I just said, I'm going to say it out loud, because we're talking about sacrifice.
Honor.
And it was like you pulled yourself back and promoted your daughter. And, I mean, it's like that was a choice, and it's produced great fruit, and that was pure selflessness on your part.
Sounds like love.
Yeah. So we honor you tonight, Mom. Thank you for that. All right. I don't think we're not quite done yet. I feel like there's at least one or two more words here. Joe, right here, right back there.
I got the word thrust and rocket. And for me, I just want to say that this higher call meeting here, it has changed my life.
Thank you, Jesus.
I didn't really realize it, but God has showed me all these things have happened. A big part of it is about inheritance. For me, it's a huge part. And this thrust in this rocket is the inheritance that is coming back to everybody that has been stolen. And it excites me.
Thank you.
It excites me for me. It excites me for my family. I can't say enough about it, because what it has done to me inside, It's changed me to it's the hope of glory, but it's through the hope of glory that there's a hope for betterness, and a hope for betterness for my kids, and an inheritance that I leave behind, and how important that is for me to steward. And so I just encourage you all to get ready for it, because it's coming. It's right here.
Amen.
It's right
Come
here.
Come on.
And I just say yes to it.
Amen.
I say yes to it.
Thank you,
That's
Jesus.
Good.
That is good work. Thank you. All right. We've got, it's 8:30, so we're probably going to need to pray here and finish. So those that need to go can go. But is there one more word here? Okay, this lady in the back.
about Mikhail, and it's like a testimony. Today I met her in the bathroom, and she says, "Hi, how are you?" And a few weeks ago, she said the same thing. And then one time we weren't here for 2 weeks, and she says, "Oh, I haven't seen you for 2 weeks." That really blessed me, because I mean, I'm not her age or anything, you know. And so I thought, wow, neat. She's very observant, and I wish they had more like her. Bless you.
Yeah. You know something? I'm going to say something on that. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for taking notice. And there's a lesson there, because it's very easy for us to go through life without actually acknowledging those that are around us, because there may be no particular reason to. You know, we talk about a culture of honor. The greatest honor you can give another person is to acknowledge them. The greatest dishonor is to ignore. And so just being aware of other people, doesn't have to be anything, maybe, but just the word that just acknowledging that she noticed that you weren't here. I mean, just those kinds of things that help confirm the fact that we are a body, and one piece of the body is missing for whatever reason, or hurting or suffering. We feel it, we notice it, we come under the weight of that. Or when people are rejoicing, we get to rejoice with them in their victories. Their victory is our victory. Another person's pain is our pain. And learning how to really do that naturally, not contrived, not with a hidden agenda, but just because of who we are. Okay? Here's how I want to end. I'm not sure exactly. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. He has a word. Well, you're only the pastor. I mean, you know, come on.
I've just been sitting on this tonight, but I really feel like it's a word of encouragement for us as a body, and really for some of us individually. All morning, this morning, I saw just like Jesus walking into a crowd, and he was, beautiful. I mean, you don't usually use terms like beautiful for a male, but he was just awesome, and he was dressed in just fantastic clothing, had jewels, and his smile is radiant, and I thought, God, that's really cool, and I see Jesus like that quite a bit, but I was noticing it this morning, and so tonight I was feeling like the same thing. It's like, wow, God, why, what is this? I'm seeing this so clearly. I believe what it is, as I was sharing with some counselors that we get together on a quarterly basis in the house here, and at the meeting I just shared something that Bob and I have been observing, that it's about 7 years ago that I was set into the house here as the senior pastor. And we both agreed that it's been a pretty tough ride, 7 years. I mean, God has made a way, and it's turned out okay, but we've been through hell. We've been through some really, really deep waters. And as I was sharing that about the 7 years, several people in the group said, 2007, wow, you know what? That's about the time that we are going through this, and that's about the time we are going through this. And people were just saying, noticing something about a 7-year trial period. And here's what I've been learning, is that in the 7-year period, God has been breaking self-confidence. Self-confidence can almost look like God confidence. And I believe that the church for many, many years got by on self-confidence. But if you're here tonight and you at one time were walking in an incredible place and in a powerful ministry, and you feel like you've been put on the shelf, haven't been put on the shelf, you've been put into the fire. Into the furnace.
Fire falls on sacrifice.
With Jesus. And this is good news. But it's about having self-confidence broken. And there's this God confidence. Do you feel it?
Yeah.
Do you sense it?
Mm-hmm.
And there's this God confidence, and that's what it. God confidence is when you know the presence. God confidence is when the King is present among us. And God confidence is when you know that the King is with me wherever I go. It's about the presence, guys. But you can't have self-confidence and God confidence. They war with one another. And there is just this, I want to encourage you tonight to lay hold of, receive, understand that if you've gone through things in the last 7 years, you know, there's no magical number. And it just isn't. But can I encourage you that there is this God confidence that has been built in you, if you'll hear it, if you'll see it, if you'll feel it, if you'll know it. I believe that's a word for us as a body.
Amen.
But I believe too, you know, I know that the winds have shifted. I know the winds have changed.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
It can be a really scary place when you lose self-confidence unless you can lay hold of God confidence. That's a scarier place to be. I mean, it's risk. It's all the stuff that we talk about. But the reason that you've been going through a breaking and the stuff of life in the furnace is a breaking off of something that had to be broken off for something that's way better.
Yeah. The same thing about self-confidence and God confidence is, you know, and God doesn't want us to feel inferior, but if you're functioning simply out of self-confidence, you have to work to keep yourself there, and it's exhausting because there's a lot of stuff that will war against your own identity. But when it's a confidence in God and who you are in Him, it's actually a place of rest and peace. Okay? Here's how. Did you have something? Okay, one more thing here, and then I've got something. Bob and Marcy, don't disappear on me. I want to call you guys up here in a second with Dave and Susie.
Sorry, I hate being at the mic, but I'm like, I just wanted to confirm Dave's, because actually, when Mikhail started singing, I don't remember what song it was, but I felt like the Lord said, "Go get a piece of paper and write this down." And it was writing the dates backwards, and it kind of ended in 2007 of all these hard things. I was like, this was hard. Okay, 2 months back, this was hard. And it was one after another ending kind of like in 2007. And then it was encouraging to hear Joe's words saying, thrust. And I was like thinking, because in our family we're going through a little hard thing. And I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to receive that word of, okay, this is the end. Because I was like, oh, there's been so many. I don't know, I just felt like I had to confirm, because it was the date, and I literally wrote it by date in 7 years.
Yeah. God is, anybody get the idea that God is talking tonight? But He's doing it through His people. Just learning how to discern the voice of many waters. Okay. We can do it again. I did it last week. Okay, we're going to do that. All right. Fact is, we can do that right now. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, why don't you do that? Okay? We're going to do that, and then I'd like to have Bob and Marcy and Dave and Susie come up here, okay, after Trish is through.
We're just going to, why don't we all agree for the restoration of stolen and lost inheritances as a body, and just press in. Yeah, that would be good. Are
everybody
you able to
stand up and take hands?
Can you just
cross the aisles, whatever, in unity?
So, Lord, we just come together. We're holding your hand, Jay, in the spirit. She's in the mommy's room.
No, she's out in the lobby.
Oh, she's out.
You can come in here if you want.
Thank you, Papa God. We just love you so much. And I thank you, Lord, for for lost inheritances found. And we are just declaring that every lost inheritance will be found. Everything that was lost in relationships, finances, in any area, jobs, whatever pertains to us, health, will be returned, will be found. Everything stolen will be coughed up. That's what I'm seeing, is that things are getting coughed up. So I just declare that in Jesus' name. I say right now, hallelujah, cough it up. That's in Jesus' right. name. Every inheritance, everything that were ours, that has been stolen, you cough it up right now in Jesus' name.
That's right.
All of it coming forth. And I just declare with force in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, I thank you for every hidden thing that we're not even aware of that was taken or that was lost, that it would come to the light, Father, that it would surface in Jesus' name. And I just declare full inheritance to be used for you, for ourselves, for the kingdom, and however you see fit for that to be used, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that you get such glory when things are returned to your children.
Wow.
And Lord, I'm asking that you would just drop on us a spirit of faith, just special faith, Lord, to believe you for the impossible, that you would believe, that we would believe for the miraculous, things that were just stolen or lost years and years ago, Lord, that it would materialize. Give us the faith to call it forth, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that one puts 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000 to flight, and so on and so on. So we are all together right now, and we say, devil, in Jesus' name, you have no authority over our lives, over our inheritances, and in the name of Jesus, kingdom of darkness, you are coughing up what's ours with interest.
Amen.
And so, Lord, we just praise you and we thank you. Jesus.
Yeah.
And we give you such glory, Father. We just glorify your name that is above every name, Jesus.
And just, Lord, just the return of a vision, Lord, without a vision, without a prophetic vision, people perish. We're lost. We lose. We're stolen from the Lord. I just pray for restoration, restoration, restoration of the inheritance of vision, of dreams, of vision, of dreams and visions, the restoration of giftings, callings, anointings, mantles, open doors of favor in the name of Jesus, that we'd be transformed in our vision, that we would see exactly who we are in you, what you have willed to us in our inheritance in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Okay, I'd like to have Bob and Marcy and Dave and Susie come up here. But I would just a kind of a funny little story about how God talks. We love Isaiah 7:11. Okay, we love Isaiah 7:11. And I was in ministry here up in Aiken not too long ago. And this lady who had her vertebrae healed, her dislocated vertebrae. Well, her daughter works for 7-Eleven stores. And so this week in the mail, we get a package that has 7-Eleven T-shirts and 7-Eleven hats. And little notebooks and everything. But I'm just saying, I wear that stuff to the side. Ask me for a sign. See, that's God's challenge. He's not threatened by us. That's not a sign of unbelief. That's a sign of faith. Ask me for a sign. So I just want to bless you with that. Pass that on. Ask God for signs, wonders, and miracles. All right? Okay, Luke.
This is kind of a silly little thing, but it kind of tells you how God doesn't just restore. He goes back to when it should have been restored. This is really bizarre. I mean, on the 27th of August, I put in for a refund on something that I'd returned to a place online. He said, Visa's got 30 days to return it. So I started watching about every other day. I'd check online, make sure it was coming in. So it went over a month. And then that day that Sunday night that we talked about, that on the Monday, the next day, I just, all of a sudden something came over in my car and I just said, I want my refund now. I want it back.
That's the Bobby Connor anointing.
So I go home and go online, and it shows that it came on August 28th, and it was not there.
Come on. Come on. Retroactive. Come on. Well, yeah, God's not a prisoner to time. It's a created thing. So I want everyone just why don't we gather around? What I want to do is I want to bless the pastoral and apostolic leadership in this church for what they have collaborated with God to create here in this family and this culture, and just declare over them for increase in this season for them. How many of you know that in leadership sometimes you really get robbed? The enemy really can come. He comes against all of us, but sometimes in key leadership, you really get stolen from big time. And we just kind of shrug. Well, that's part of the battle. Well, yes, it is, but that doesn't mean you have to settle for being stolen from. And so tonight, I just want us to bless them. Why don't some of you, and this will be the benediction, but gather around, lay hands on them. If you don't have to come up here, but if you do, come on up and lay hands on them. And if you have a prophetic word of blessing over Dave, Susie, Bob, or Marcy, let's just do that. Let's just do that. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. And if you have a word for them, just use the mic and so we can get it recorded. Just go ahead at your liberty. Pray. Declare, prophesy, bless. I just feel like tonight something happened, and I don't know that I've seen that much from you before. But there's a shift going on in with you in the whole area of joy, yeah. Freedom and joy. Yes. You are a worker's worker. I mean, you're, and it's like you're like the quote lead, with Susie. It's lead, follow, or get out of the way, because she's going somewhere, and you can be can get pretty intense. But the Lord said He loves that about you. But He wants to add to that intensity just insatiable joy. That in the midst of all that, you'll just be laughing yourself silly because you know it. God, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So I just bless the joy. I just impart that to you now.
You know, I want to add to that.
Levels
I see
joy,
her getting more done. I see you getting more done, Susie, faster than you would have, but you're actually laughing yourself silly. But the work somehow gets done, and you don't know how it happened. So I'm just saying, get ready for mind-blowing experiences.
Yeah. Initially, you may feel a little guilty about having so much fun with it all, but don't. Just enjoy. Just enjoy it. Okay? Does that make sense? Thank
it's
you.
It's already started.
That's good. That's great. She's been dipping in the wine. Oh. She's been in the wine cabinet.
I like the color of your Merlot top.
Yeah. She's got the Merlot anointing on tonight. Come on. Yo. Whoa. Come on. You get to pass the ball around, too. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
I've seen for Pastor Bob and Marcy, I've seen that it was earlier today in service, and I've seen an inheritance that was being passed down.
Yeah, exactly.
To their daughter and their son-in-law. And it's an inheritance of faithfulness. It was an inheritance of couples ministering to others, not only in the body, but out in the world. And I seen it that it was an inheritance that was handed down from you guys. And that your guys' ceiling was their floor. and that it was good. I seen that it was good, and that God just says, good and faithful servants.
Yes. Yes.
Good and faithful servants.
Yeah.
An inheritance was passed down. As it was said tonight, that does not mean that he is finished with you guys and what he has for you guys.
That's right.
He says maybe it is a new direction, but I am not done with you, good and faithful servants.
Yeah,
rich inheritance.
I just felt like one of the things with you, you guys have carried such a vision for the kingdom, for what God wants to do, you know, way back. You know, I don't know the whole history involvement in the Elk River story and what God is doing here. And I just really sensed that early on there was this, you had this very, what seemed to be a really clear vision of what you thought God was going to do. And it hasn't always turned out that way. And because of that, there have been seasons where you've even questioned, God, was that you? Have we got it wrong? Do we need to do something different? And the Lord is telling you tonight, no, you didn't get it wrong.
Yeah.
You did not get it wrong. You didn't get it wrong. Yeah. It's just taken longer than you thought. It took like 80 years to build the temple. But there's been a process here. And he wants to stir up tonight a holy, divine, sanctified remembrance of that what he gave you in the beginning.
Yeah.
What he gave, it may look a little bit different now because you've got years of perspective, but I just declare a stirring up. You know, to remember means to remember the members being brought, all the different parts, the members of the body, the members, the pieces of something being brought together again, to remember. And I just declare an anointing of remembrance,
yes. Yes.
Of remembrance, and in that remembrance, a restoration.
Come on.
A restoration.
Yes.
A remembrance of every area. I'm just saying this. A remembrance in every area of your lives, what you've envisioned as a husband and a wife from the very beginning. Just that incredible level of passion and romance, and how that just, and that reflects on the body of Christ as well. It's all this. Jesus doesn't date; he's looking for a bride, and I declare that restoration for both of you, with the beauty of having had all these years of perspective. To re-examine that and say, yes, God, this was you. This is you. I'm just saying, you conceived something of the Holy Spirit that you have carried. Some of it, look, has been birthed, but the fullness of it has not yet been birthed.
Thank you,
but
Jesus.
It's here. The pain that you felt in recent years is just the transition pains of birth. The birthing is at hand. It is crowning. This thing is crowning now, and that's why it's so painful. That's why the pains come more often now. You're right there. You're right there. You're right there. And I call it forth. I call it forth. I breathe life on it in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.
And when I walked up, and it was for Dave and Susie and also Marcy and Bob, that days of refreshing,
yeah.
I just saw it refreshing, fresh, just refreshing coming over you. Mm-hmm. And I just declare the strength,
yeah.
And the agility to be able to continue, wow. And to persevere, the stamina. And Marcy, we just declare your body whole,
yes.
Healed, complete in Jesus' name, that you have the strength that you need. In fact, Lord, I thank you for vitality beyond her years, younger than what she is, Father, in the name of Jesus, of a young woman in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for a strength in both of these couples, Father, to be able to walk out and carry out what you have for them.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And I just want to say something. Somebody talked tonight about, somebody used the word stubborn. maybe they didn't. Maybe I just thought I heard that. But there is in this body, especially in the leadership, say, well, people are stubborn. Well, perseverance is just sanctified stubbornness. You just refuse to give up because you know God's in it. All right, and I just bless that. I bless that.
As you're talking about remembrance, Marcy, I remember something about you, and I remember that there was a significant change in you. I don't remember how many years ago, but I noticed it. I'm sure everybody else noticed it. There was a stepping into your identity and a confidence that came upon you. It's almost like you were timid, and you know, Bob was in the forefront. He was the pastor, and you were there, and you were supportive, but you didn't have a particular role that seemed noticeable that you were walking in. And then suddenly, it was like night and day, you stepped into that. And I think there's just there was a revelation of what your identity is. And the Lord wants to say he noticed that too, and continue to walk in that identity no matter what life throws at you. Do not step out of that, but walk in that confidence that you have been walking in, and he just affirms you tonight.
Amen.
I just want to say on behalf of both these couples, I could toot their horns quite a bit because they've been in mine and my wife's life big time, instrumental. Sue and Dave, you know, all the way back when I was a kid in Caledonia when I gave my life to Christ. Yeah. And I was healed of asthma. It was because of you guys bringing me there, you guys showing me the path, and praying for me when I fell away. And continue prayer, faithfulness. And then you send your Pastor Bob to see me in jail. And I give my life to Christ with him. God is so good.
Yeah.
I just pray a blessing over these two.
Yeah.
I speak in the name of Jesus. I take back anything that has been stolen from them over their time of ministry and their time of pressing in and their time of going without and giving to others. I just speak it. I speak thousands of million fold back to them.
Yeah.
You take back what has been stolen. Time that they gave up.
Yeah.
Jobs that they passed by.
Wow.
I just speak it in the name of Jesus. I speak million folds back into their hearts, their souls, their minds, and their pocketbooks.
Yeah.
And I just speak love to them. Thank you guys for being that part of life, being Jesus to me. You guys are a big part of why I'm even just standing here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Christ, but it's Christ in you guys. Yeah. Christ with skin on.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
We agree.
I just bless you. Here's what I see: a gentle giant, gentle man, and the enemy better not get confused thinking because you're gentle, you're not fierce. You're a gentle giant, a giant of a man in the spirit, with the gentleness of Christ. I just bless that.
Gentle enough to paint his granddaughter's toenails.
Oh, yeah.
Gentle enough to paint his granddaughter's toenails.
That's right. Giant enough to say something when my asthma come back on the way back.
Yeah.
40 years ago, whatever it was, my asthma come back in his little Ford van he had. He jumped out of the van, pulled it over, jumped out. He said, "In the name of Jesus, get out of him!" Because it tried to come back at me. I'm serious. That is it, man.
See. It's good to remember. It's good to remember our heritage and our inheritances, because it puts us in a position. It builds momentum for what is going forward. Okay.
Dave and Susie and Bob and Marcy, I sensed a waterfall, but at the same time, there was like a whirling around you that went up. And recently the Lord gave me an image of him being fire, wind, and rain. And so I feel like that fire, you've been through the trials, but he was with you. And you've experienced times of powerful anointing in the Spirit, and that wind of the Spirit just really moving through many, many meetings and years of seeing people healed and great things happening. And he is in the wind, but you see him not. And he says, this is a time of refreshing, and I am in the rain. I am in the rain, and I am here. I'm pouring out upon you a time of refreshing. But he's been in all of those. He's been in the fire, and he was in that wind, and now he's also in the rain.
Amen. Amen.
I just wanted to say that sometimes I think we feel like we want to tally up what we've done and kind of look and say, well, we're doing okay. We've done a lot of stuff, and you guys have. But
yeah,
I just want to say that there's something, Bob and Marcy, especially this last year with your health, even more than ever, it's just that you're here. It's just your presence.
Yeah.
And like, I know I walk
Absolutely.
In. And I look up and see you there on Sunday mornings and go, there they are. And, just knowing kind of what the hardships and just the things you've walked through. But it's like there's strength, I think, that we gain by just seeing you continue to stand and persist. Mm-hmm. And just that we need to be present, just present to one another. Sometimes
yeah.
it's not anything we say or do, but it's just being there and still standing. And the Bible says, having done all to stand. And I'm just grateful because that's taken sacrifice and work. But you are a testimony
yeah.
To this body. And
yes.
and I thank you for that in my life.
Amen. Amen. All right.
For those who know me, one thing is pretty clear. I am not someone who sleepwalks. When I go to bed, I go to bed. But one thing I've been doing for a while has been to ask God to reveal himself to me, to talk to me, let me feel his presence, because of I've gone through some stuff I need explained to me. So a few weeks ago I was in bed sleeping soundly, but I know before I went to bed I reminded God I was still waiting to hear from him. And as always with me constantly complaining, I asked him why it's taking so long to, talk to me. And late at night or early in the morning, which is a time that should mean something to Pastor Dave, 3:47, I heard him calling me. And I actually got up from bed and went to the door, but he wasn't there, and there were no lights. So next day, I said, Pastor Dave, did you call me last night? And he said, no. And I told, I said, well, I heard you calling me. Actually, I stood up, went to the door, but you weren't there. And he said, no, I did not. So hearing you today talk about, seeking God and God revealing himself to you reminded me of that. It reminded me, too, of the fact that I need to be counting my blessings and not be looking at, what has been taken away from me. Yes, that's great. It would be good to have back whatever was taken. But you look at where you could be. When I look at Susie, when I look at Dave, I don't qualify to call myself a homeless person. In Susie's house, I've never gone hungry. Matter of fact, I've got text messages and emails I treasure. And they say things like, Chris, remember we're going to Rochester. I couldn't cook. Just look in the fridge. Anything you see, eat it. Help yourself. And then at the end it says, be sure to heat the food first. So when I hear things like, you know, they've been here, Dave has been senior pastor for 7 years, it doesn't surprise me. I just feel like, yes, I should fall on my knees and beg God to give them the strength to continue, you know, to spread his word, to feed those who are lacking in God's word, to continue to give them the chance and the means to help people. Because one problem I'm having right now is the fact that there are things I would like to do in the kingdom and I cannot because I don't have the means, or because I kind of focus on other things and didn't train for that. And so they're blessed. Now, Pastor Bob, I think I met him before I even met Pastor Dave, and we had conversations, very, very personal conversations. And so he didn't take any hesitation on my part to want to be part of this body, because I knew the people, and since then I've never had any regret. And in my prayers, I'll continue to ask God to give you the strength and the means to continue to lead us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
So, Father, we just thank you for... Thank you for those mothers and fathers in the faith, Lord God, that you've blessed this body with, Lord God. Just pray for strength, for anointing, blessing, wholeness, and the restoration, the complete restoration of all that has been stolen and withheld from them, delayed. We say no more. No more. We call forth that which is their rightful inheritance in the kingdom. Now, this day, this season, in the strong name of Jesus, amen.